Tannehill empties the backfield on second and 13. Has some pressure, throws, it's intercepted. Matt Milano, pick six, Buffalo. And it's all Bills tonight. How about a 40 spot?
You can see they're just playing cover two. Tremaine Edmonds going to relate to three. Milano is going to sit out here and relate to two, but read the quarterback. Watch. Eyes on the quarterback. See Tremaine Edmonds relating to three. Milano is relating to two, but watching the quarterback. That means know where the route is developing. Keep your eyes peripherally on the quarterback break on the throw. It's perfect. It's textbook. Look, we just talked about, Dan just mentioned the fact that these guys are just disciplined in a very simplistic scheme from a coverage standpoint. There's an example of it. That's how day one install, cover two, how it's supposed to look.
Oh, it was bad.
It was bad.
A 40 spot last night for the Buffalo Bills. They demolished the Titans. Titans Monday, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. As I tweeted out yesterday, our phones will be open all day long. Our phones will be open. So, Caroline Fenton's here today, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Ian Safar's with us as well. I'll go first today. So I don't know how people feel, because I literally went out of my way not to watch TV, not to listen to the radio, not to listen to Robbie and Joe, not to listen to the Midday Show. At one point today, Chase texted me. He's like, are you listening right now? I'm like, nope, I'm not listening to anything, because I didn't want to hear what anybody else had to say in order, you know, before I told you all what I think about what happened yesterday. But I think one thing I've realized is everybody thinks they have the answer. And everybody is wrong. And at the same time, everybody is right. And I know that sounds weird, but everybody thinks they have the answer for just how bad the Titans were yesterday. Oh my goodness gracious, 41-7. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, they got to fire somebody. They got to fire somebody. They either got to fire the general manager. He can't draft anymore. Caleb Farley stinks. Dylan Raiden stinks. Isaiah Wilson's a bum. They traded for Julio Jones. He's not there anymore. They don't throw to Austin Hooper. They got Jeff Swaim there. They don't have a right tackle. They don't have a left guard. General manager, he's terrible. That's one thing. The second thing, the offensive coordinator, he's so bad. He doesn't know a play. He doesn't know if the ball is pumped or stuffed. He doesn't know anything. Which, again, if you're mad at the coordinator, you're mad at the coach. Third, the quarterback. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterback. I know it. I know everybody wants to hear about the quarterback today. I already know. You know, oh, Tannehill, he can't get out there. He throws the ball terrible out there. They throw interceptions. Okay. Everybody's a little right and everybody's a little wrong. But let's start with this. The reason why the Titans lost yesterday and the reason why they got hammered is because they're not as good of a team as the Buffalo Bills. We never claimed they were as good of a team. You all, and I take your calls and your texts every day, you all never believed that they were a better team than the Buffalo Bills. We know that the Bills just went to Los Angeles and embarrassed the defending world champions on the road. We know they're a really good team. In fact, last year, when we did the playoff preview show, and we made our official predictions. You remember the one where Chris Sanders went off about how the Titans had run the Cincinnati Bengals out of Nissan Stadium, and they ended up drawing the Bengals? So when we made our final predictions, I predicted that the Bills would come in here in the AFC Championship game and beat the Titans. And that's because I have a lot of respect for the Buffalo Bills. The best player on the field belonged to the Bills. The second best player on the field?
Bills.
The third best player on the field?
Bills.
They're better than you. And you're on the road in the hardest stadium to play in the NFL, with one of the most passionate and loyal fan bases. This is a fan base that is incredibly loyal when they stink. This is the first time where they know over the last 2 years, where they know that they've been good. This is the first time that they've known that for 20 years. Since the Music City Miracle, where they know they're good. That was a raucous atmosphere. The Titans have plenty of holes. We talk about them every day. And they went into Buffalo without Christian Fulton, without their third down running back, without their $80 million pass rusher they signed this year, Harold Landry. We know the Titans aren't as good as the Bills. So, again, if you want to blame anybody today, you're right. Because Ryan Tannehill's not as good as Josh Allen. And Ryan Tannehill can't go to Buffalo and single-handedly elevate a roster that is nowhere near as good as the Buffalo Bills roster and beat them. He can't do that. John Elway could do that. Dan Marino could do that. Peyton Manning could do that. Tom Brady can do that. Ryan Tannehill can't do that. But didn't we already know that? Didn't we already know that? I thought the Titans' offensive game plan yesterday was horrible. I understood it, but it was the one thing I kept saying all throughout the week. Don't do this. Don't go to Buffalo and try to trick them. Don't go to Buffalo and try to hit a bunch of plays down the field. Don't go to Buffalo. Go to Buffalo and try to establish the run. And if you lose trying to establish the run, you lost trying to establish the run. But that's your bread and butter. Go to Buffalo and do that. They didn't do it. I didn't like the offensive game plan. Guess what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter if Todd Downing called a great game. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The general manager, you all want to get on the general manager and say, oh, well, I mean, right now they got nothing out of their 2021 draft class. They're getting nothing out of their 2020 draft class. They're not going out there and signing big impact free agents. They traded away A.J. Brown. You're right. You're right about all of it. All of those things are true. And it didn't matter. It really didn't matter. The Titans are going to go to Buffalo. Even if John Robinson had hit on all those draft picks, they throw the screen pass they throw yesterday in a 7-7 game. Ben Jones gets a 15-yard face mask penalty, moves it all the way back. Is that the general manager's fault? I guess it must be. So, I mean, the reality with the Titans is that they have problems. They know they have problems. I know they have problems. And now you all know they have problems. But as long as Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback, this team's never going to be able to beat the Buffalo Bills unless the Titans play a perfect game. And the Buffalo Bills don't play a perfect game. The Buffalo Bills didn't miss a field goal. They didn't turn the ball over. I'm not even sure they committed a lot of penalties. I mean, one of them was a Titan penalty that should have been a first down that they gave to the Titans. I don't know. The officiating last night was horrible. But so for everybody out there, a couple things. First of all, calm down. If you think that last night, 41-7, if you think that that's an indication that the Tennessee Titans are one of the worst teams in the league, I got news for you. I'm 100 times madder about losing by a field goal to the Giants than I am about what happened last night. I kind of expected what happened last night to happen. That is, the Titans go to Buffalo. Titans have to play perfect. If they don't play perfect with that atmosphere, with that crowd, and the style with which they play, Titans are going to get blown out. I didn't even expect going into the game that Bud Dupree was going to get hurt. And guess what? Bud Dupree is really important to everything that they do. When Bud Dupree is in the lineup and is healthy, the Titans get Patrick Mahomes to have a quarterback rating of 62.3, which is horrible. By comparison, Tannehill in the AFC playoffs last year was 66.7, and he threw three interceptions, one of the worst quarterback games of all time. So when Bud Dupree's in there, Mahomes is worse than Tannehill was in the Bengals playoff game. When he's not in there, Mac Jones is 123.2. Zach Wilson last year throwing the ball up and down the field when Bud Dupree's not in there. So now Bud Dupree's out. So the Titans are going to go on the road for everybody. Look, I don't enjoy watching the Titans get their butts kicked either. Trust me. But you're trying to tell me the Titans are going to go on the road to the prohibitive Super Bowl favorite that just smoked the defending world champions, had 11 days to prepare, had the number one defense in the league last year, and added a Hall of Fame pass rusher to it, that they're going to go on the road without a starting corner, without their most expensive pass rusher, without their left tackle, which means now they have no tackles, in that environment, in prime time, against that quarterback and you expect the Titans to beat the Bills? Or you expect the Titans to even compete with the Bills? Of course not. I've never hosted radio in Starkville, Mississippi before, but I can't imagine that the Monday after Mississippi State goes on the road and gets housed by Alabama, I can't imagine that every Mississippi State fan is all worked up about the coordinator or the quarterback or the coach, or did you not expect to get beat by Alabama? That's what happened last night. The Titans are 0-2. I get it. So are the Bengals. I'd much rather be the Titans 0-2, which is got complacent in the first half of the first game, or in the second half of the first game, which is not an excuse and bothers me 1,000 times more than what happened last night, and they got smoked by the best team in football, as opposed to Cincinnati, who lost a division game at home to a team they're better than and lost game two in a close game to Cooper Rush, a backup quarterback. The division's a mess. The Titans are still probably the best team in it. They still have the best coach in the division. That didn't change last night. Ryan Tannehill is a capable quarterback, even though he can't single-handedly put the team on his back with Bud Dupree out and Taylor Lewan out and half his receiving corps not knowing if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, and the team can't catch a punt, and they, you know, finally hit a nice play down the field on a screen pass, and they get it called back for a face mask. He's not good enough to overcome all of that. He never was, and you know it. It's fine. Now they got to beat the Raiders on Sunday. I mean, they're getting to a point now, 0-2. That's one thing. Started the show off yesterday. Said I fully expect them to be 0-2. I think they'll be fine if they're 0-2. But they got to be able to beat the Raiders on Sunday. But for everybody out there that today is mad at the general manager, it's not just about him. You're not wrong, but it's not just about him. Everybody who's mad at the offensive coordinator, mad at the scheme, mad at the coaching staff, mad at the... You're not wrong. There are things they could have done. I don't know why the Titans are still going 4th-and-1 from the shotgun. It might have worked, but I don't like it. But you're not totally wrong. I didn't like the game plan last night. But Vince Lombardi's game plan probably doesn't beat the Buffalo Bills at Buffalo. Don Shula's game plan probably doesn't beat the Buffalo Bills at Buffalo. Everybody out there wants to bag on Tannehill. Guess what? He's not Josh Allen. He's also not treated like Josh Allen. He's not compensated like Josh Allen. And he is not on his way to the Hall of Fame like Josh Allen. And you knew all of that. It's okay. It'll be fine. It was ugly. And if anything else, it exposed a lot of the problems that this team has, which there are problems that I have been talking about since training camp. How much have we talked about the offensive line since training camp? How much have we talked about Caleb Farley getting beat deep since training camp? How much have we talked about the fact that Jeff Swaim freaking sucks since training camp? So now they know they've got those same problems too. Season's not over. Tannehill's not worthless. Robinson's still a good GM. Vrabel's still coach of the year. I'm not telling you it'll be all right because I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I don't know what they'll do on Sunday against the Raiders. But it's not the end of the world. And that's the way it is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your phones early and often today because it is a Titans Monday. 615-737-1025. We'll hit Caroline's thoughts, Ian's thoughts, and then we're right to you. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 the game.
Trying to set up the screen to Robert Woods. And he'll make some people miss. And Robert Woods inside the 30. There is a flag down. It's a gain of 17. Check the penalty marker. Sound of the crowd says it's coming back.
I think they're going to get Ben Jones, the center, trying to
personal
get out
foul,
there.
Face mask, offense, number 60. 15-yard penalty, second down.
You don't see a lot of offensive face mask penalties.
Yeah, you see big man right here. You can see he's trying to get out here on the edge. He's going to try and get a block on Milano and starts losing him and just inadvertently grabs his face mask.
I thought that was the biggest play of the game for the Titans yesterday. I thought of all the reasons, if you want to say, you know, this play, that play, and we know it wasn't one play, that they lost to the Bills.
No.
7-7 game, Titans force a punt of the Bills, and all of a sudden, Ben Jones, second quarter, Titans on the move, thought it was a great play call on the screen pass to, and I put drive killer right next to it in my notes, can't have it. Tannehill to Woods for 17 yards on the play. They get down to the Buffalo 30. So now you're thinking, okay, it's probably going to be 10-7 Titans.
Right.
Instead, it brings it back. Titans have to punt to the Bills. Bills end up kicking the field goal. So that right there, 3 points, cost you 3 points right there. Man, I think the Titans made a handful of plays like that yesterday. I thought the, you know, I really, again, I didn't think the Titans were ever going to win this game, so I'm not surprised by it, but they got no pressure on Josh Allen once Bud Dupree left. They can't block, and then they really don't know who to block sometimes. Like, there were certain plays where I watched the tape where Petit Ferrer and Nate Davis, and Vrabel kind of alluded to this in his press conference today, where Petit Ferrer and Davis would block the same guy, Swain would block somebody else, and somebody would come unblocked and either hit the running back or hit the quarterback. So I guess it's, you know, not PT's fault there, but it's certainly something. And then you can't go on the road, commit 9 penalties at Buffalo and win the game.
Yeah.
Your reaction?
Well, I mean, my prediction yesterday, I thought that the Titans were at least going to cover, keep it closer than 10. So I...
But were you married to that prediction?
No, I wasn't. I knew that the Buffalo Bills were that much better than the Titans. I just didn't think it was going to be that bad. With the way that this team plays, where they lose to the dumb teams and they can play close or beat the good teams, I thought at least the Titans were going to be able to make it a game. But I wasn't floored. I wasn't shocked at the outcome. I mean, at the half, I thought, I think this is going to get ugly. And it did. And I think that what I saw last night just kind of solidified a lot of my concerns, probably a lot of your concerns and Titans fans' concerns of this offensive line just isn't very good. And it wasn't last night. You saw that last night. This offensive line doesn't have a lot of depth. And we saw that last night. We saw that rear its ugly head last night. The fact that Derrick Henry couldn't pop off for more than 2 or 3 yards. The fact that Tannehill didn't have a lot of time to throw the ball. I think we're all concerned about Caleb Farley's ability to play in this league, to be a legitimate starting corner in this league. And he was not very good last night. He was covering Stephon Diggs in the end zone. Stephon Diggs goes right, he goes left. Leaves Stephon Diggs on his own, and then Josh Allen targets Stephon Diggs in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, it's pretty disgraceful that the Titans decided to put an undrafted rookie out there instead of Farley.
Yes.
Which is
really... That's a problem. And special teams, we were all concerned about going into this season after the Giants game. We saw it again last night. Kyle Phillips muffs another punt. So I think a lot of my concerns going into the season after the Giants game, they were all really solidified last night that this team just doesn't have a lot of depth. And to be honest with you, doesn't have a ton of talent, and its talented players aren't taken advantage of enough or can't be taken advantage of. Derrick Henry, for example,
are like overriding statements about the team, or do you think that those are overriding statements about last night?
Both. So, I think there are overriding statements about the team, and I think we saw it last night.
See, I don't feel that way.
Why?
Because I believe that, you know, again, those penalties that the Titans had were some pretty big penalties.
They were bad penalties, yes.
And I don't expect Ben Jones to go out there and get a humongous face mask in every single game that he plays. And for the most part, they've been one of the most unpenalized teams under Vrabel in the 5 years that he's been the coach. So that happened yesterday. It was bad. But I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen at home on Sunday against the Raiders. You know, again, their communication, their inability at times to block. For the most part, they kept Tannehill unscathed until the game started to get out of hand, which is what I kept talking about all day yesterday when I said, I'm not going to blame Tannehill. If he goes out there and he gets his bell rung a bunch and he throws a couple interceptions and that's exactly what he did. I'm not mad at Tannehill today.
Mm-hmm.
But against the Raiders,
I don't think you really can be mad at Tannehill.
The Raiders have a decent pass rush, but they're not going to be playing at home, so the Titans are going to be able to know the snap counts. And I do think that their line is going to get better throughout the course of the year. And so, again, I mean, I don't think there was anything that was overarching about last night other than two things. Three things that I'm like, okay, yeah, these are real problems. One, Buffalo's really good.
Buffalo's really good.
Number two, Farley stinks.
Yes.
Number three, these guys that are paid to block, that are blocking position players,
they don't
Swaim
block.
And Carter,
they don't block.
They suck. Ian, your thoughts?
Well, I guess my initial thoughts when I started to watch the game, with all the injuries, they're running out of good players. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't have any good players. When you take out Landry and Dupree and LaJuan. That's your two outside linebacker. Fulton, your starting number one corner, your two outside linebackers, your left tackle, and your number one wide receiver is still a rookie. And so you just don't have enough good players. It's when the injuries start to happen. And when you, and then when you combine all the injuries and the lack of depth with some of the young players and some of the picks that they're expected to make a difference and they're not really helping, it's just a bad combination.
I think it's perfectly well said. I think it's a confluence of everything.
Yeah.
I think it's a total confluence of, I think, some stubbornness on Vrabel's part. I think there's a lot of stubbornness on Vrabel. I think he plays guys before they're ready. I think he takes risks on guys that aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. I think that they put PT out there. And I'm like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to start him as your starting right tackle, you got to play the whole group together in the preseason because they're only going to know what to do together. It's a one group thing. And he didn't do it. You know, Vrabel loves the coordinator. Vrabel loves the special teams coach. Vrabel, you know, okay, fine. I think Vrabel gets a little stubborn. I'm with Ian. I mean, I know Bud Dupree didn't rack up a bunch of sacks last year, but I went and I looked at the quarterback rating of every single quarterback that they played last season. When Bud Dupree, and I don't count the first two games, they won one, they lost one, but Bud was not healthy, and he admitted as much, and I'll take his word at it. When Bud Dupree was out, Zach Wilson had a 97.3 quarterback rating. Trevor Lawrence, 92.1 on the road at Jacksonville. Then when he came back in, Josh Allen, 107.8, which is good, but it's not elite. Mahomes, 62.3. Wentz, 68.3. Stafford, 71. He gets hurt again. Trevor Siemian, 104. So clearly, Bud Dupree.
He makes an impact.
It makes a huge impact. When Bud Dupree is in there, the opposing quarterbacks had a quarterback rating of 83.5, and that includes Davis Mills, 128.5 in the last game where the Titans quit at halftime. Mills actually had a 61.9 rating at halftime. The Titans took such a vacation in the second half that Davis Mills' passer rating went from 61.9 to 128.5, which is embarrassing. But even with that game in there, 83.5. Without him, 77.9. So it's clearly different when Bud Dupree's not out there, and Bud Dupree got hurt. They carried three outside backers into the game, which means that Ola Adeniyi and Rashad Weaver had to play every play. Mm-hmm. And the Titans got tired on defense after Ola Adeniyi jumped the snap count and basically gave Buffalo an extended possession, which I don't know why Vrabel didn't accept the holding call that the Titans declined that would have set up like a second and 22 or second and 24 or whatever. It was third and 16. Ola jumps the snap count. You lose. And those are the things. You can't go to Buffalo and have the ball deep in their territory and have a third and long and jump the snap and give them a free play. You can't do that. And so, I mean, it was a confluence of everything. The lack of the players and the discipline with the penalties. And then I think, too, the other thing that has to be said, we have to be fair to Tannehill. We've been very, very hard on Ryan Tannehill. We have to be fair to him. He cannot carry the entire team.
No.
He's never carried the entire team. They tried it in Miami. It didn't work. After they tried it in Miami and it didn't work, everybody tried to shop him around. They tried to shop him around to everybody. One team was willing to take on Tannehill, and they wanted a fourth round. They gave up a fourth round pick, so not even a good pick. They gave up a fourth round pick. They got Tannehill to take a $10 million pay cut, and the Dolphins had to pay $5 million of it in order to send him to go back up Marcus Mariota. So that's what it looks like when Tannehill tries to carry the team. Well, that's not fair to Tannehill. So they can't do that. So it's everybody letting everybody else down right now. That's what it is. And I think Ian's right. They're running out of good players. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they won't have those guys back for Sunday. And that doesn't mean, I'm worried about the Raider game now. Like, they have to win the Raider game, but I'm not getting too caught up.
I'm not calling this an indictment on the season. I'm not saying the season is over.
I'm not like a coach who's like, you know, move on from that game and move it. No, they got embarrassed on national TV. We talk about this. No matter how much ESPN last night tried to get people to watch the other game.
That was annoying.
It was so freaking obnoxious.
The split screen. If I want to watch that game, I'll watch that game. I know it's going on.
I mean, it was like every 5 minutes. Yeah. It was like, hey, reminder, in 2.5 hours on ABC, Jalen Hurts is taking on Kirk Cousins. Everybody
and the little score bug that was up there almost the entire
everybody
time.
Go watch that one. Don't watch this one. Go watch that one. which maybe that's what the Titans won. 615-737-1025. We blocked out the last 30 minutes of this hour just for your phone calls. And so we're to them next. 615, your reaction. Are you more mad than I am today? I'm not mad today. It is what it is. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Here's Allen on 2nd and 10. Stepping up into the logo and throw. He's got Diggs wide open. It's caught. Touchdown. 46-yard strike. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
What a nicely schemed route here. Watch what happens here to Kevin Byard as he takes the over. The corner gets caught outside on the double move. Doesn't have any middle of the field safety help. I mean, it's drawn up perfectly for middle of the field coverage, just like that.
Trey Avery, man for man, running down the field with Josh or with Stephon Diggs. No pressure on Josh Allen.
What a matchup.
What a matchup. I promised your phones. I'm not mad at Trey Avery, by the way.
No, you cannot be mad at Trey Avery for that.
I have said many a time.
Of course you're going to get beat by Stephon Diggs.
I don't care who the corners are. People are like, what do you mean you don't care who the corners are? I'm like, I don't care. The pass rush gets there, then it's a, then, you know, they turn Patrick Mahomes into worse than Tannehill in the AFC playoffs against the Bengals if they can get to him with Greg Maben starting at corner. They don't get to him. They've got Stephon Diggs running free on your first pick last year, an undrafted free agent, a seventh-round pick who's got experience in the league. It doesn't matter. It could have been Deion Sanders out there. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and I promised your reaction. And again, I'm not all that worked up. The Titans did not the best they could do, but close to it. Harmon has been waiting patiently. He's kicking us off today. Go ahead, Harmon.
Hello. I am not a Titans fan, but I don't hate the Titans. Actually, I kind of like them. I don't wish ill on them, but with John Robinson as general manager, they are never going to win a Super Bowl, and that is supposed to be the goal, is to win a Super Bowl. And the problem is, you look at how he's constructed the roster, you've got a quarterback that can't carry a team when needed. He's proven that in the playoffs, and you've said it yourself, every time they get to the playoffs, it's all about Derrick Henry. Well, that only gets you but so far. Then you don't have any depth on your roster. I mean, they just got beat by a team that had two cornerbacks that are rookies. One of them a sixth-round draft pick from this year.
It doesn't matter. They have a pass rush.
Oh, well, where was the Titans don't have a pass rush.
The Titans had $40 million bucks of pass rushers hurt yesterday.
Yeah, but the Bills had two of their starting defensive linemen out.
No, they had one starting defensive lineman, and he wasn't a pass rusher.
The Bills had two defensive starters, Tim Settle and Ed Oliver.
He's not a starter.
Last night.
He's not a starter.
Tim Settle is a starter in Buffalo.
He is not a starter. I know the starting lineup from the Rams game. I watched the tape of all seven sacks. You're bending the facts. Tim Settle's a rotational player. He's a good player. But again, it's not the same as $40 million worth of pass rushing out. Thank you for your call,
but
by the way,
Harmon. Okay, then you go, to the depth, though. Then you go to the depth, though. If Jeffrey Simmons isn't having a great game and you've got Bud Dupree out, then where do you go?
If you have Bud Dupree, thank you for calling, Harmon. If you have Bud Dupree and Harold Landry out, you probably, and you're playing an elite quarterback, you probably aren't going to win. I just want everybody to know this. How much, you man the text line, about a week before the season, did I not sink my head and say, I don't know how this team's going to replace Harold Landry and A.J. Brown?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the text line reaction when I did that?
You know, it'll be fine. It's Harold Landry. They can replace him. You know, the rest of this defensive line, you know, the three out of the four guys will be fine without him.
Right. You don't just replace A.J. Browns and Harold Landry's. Those players do not just, they don't pay those guys $20 million a year because they're easily replaced. And so that's what, like this idea of, the Bills had Tim Settle, a journeyman tackle, out for the game. So it should be equal as the Titans having Bud Dupree and Harold Landry out. No. Think about it this way. If the Titans are getting ready to play the Raiders, and all of a sudden, the Titans are getting ready to play the Raiders, and we find out Max Crosby and Chandler Jones are out Sunday, how are we going to feel about it?
Woo!
Everybody's going to be, because it's a big deal. Let's go to John, who's up next on the game plan. Thank you for calling. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, so I'm a recovering Mississippi State fan, and I was a season ticket holder during the Dan Mullen era and often gave Dan Mullen way too much credit. I thought that he was kind of holding good cards in early season games to try to, you know, win these later early season games where the Bulldogs were not favored or heavily under favored. You said earlier that you'd rather have seen the Titans go into Buffalo and try to establish the run game, even if it meant losing trying to establish the run game and not go in there and trick them.
Yes.
Do you think that that's a thing? Do you think going in there and kind of doing what I thought Dan Mullen consistently did in losing games that he should have been trying harder and maybe showing some of his cards, is that a thing? And did we see that last night?
Okay, thank you for your call. I had a hard time following that.
Is he saying, should the Titans just stick with
the identity
what works
of running the ball
and not trying to hold anything back?
I have a couple theories on this. One, I don't think Vrabel thought that would have worked. So where I think that they should have gone into Buffalo, and look, let me tell you something. This Swaim and this Carter, they freaking stink. Like, they're supposed to be the blocking guys, the fullback mm-hmm. and the blocking tight end. And they're terrible at it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both horrendous at it. And this isn't the first game. I mean, Carter, when I went and watched the tape, there was a run with Derrick Henry where Carter could have either blocked the defensive end or the linebacker. And he didn't block either, and both players made the tackle on Derrick Henry.
And it seemed like any guy that Jeff Swaim was on, he got right past him.
Yeah, or like for Carter, for instance, there was one on one of those pitch plays where Carter went to block his guy, and the guy just pushed off Carter and tackled Henry. And it's like, well, then what's the point of Carter? So maybe Vrabel was right. There was one play. They put Gregory Rousseau, who is a pass rusher. Let me see if I wrote this down in my notes. They put Gregory Rousseau, who is a pass rusher. He is an outside linebacker slash defensive end over Aaron Brewer, and he just bull rushed him. And after the play, Lewis Riddick on TV was like, yeah, you know, Aaron Brewer is one of the smallest guards in the league at 270 pounds, and he just isn't strong enough to be able to. That's not even one of the big boys. That's not even. Russo's not a big old fatty. He's not one of these guys that they're going to. DeForest Buckner that they're going to stick on Brewer. I mean, he's a skinny guy, and he pushed him back. And who said at training camp, boy, I tell you what, man, Aaron Brewer's little. And everyone's like, oh, no, he'll show you. So I do wonder my idea of like, hey, go in there. I thought the Titans had to go in there from the jump and basically treat it like that Ravens playoff game, which was, we're going to run this ball down your freaking throat. And you can try to stop it. And if you stop it, you win. If you don't, we win. That's how I wanted the Titans to go in there and do that. Now, with the assumption that they would have probably ended up losing doing that. But I think it would have been their best chance to win. I'm thinking Vrabel thought that they couldn't do that. That's the only thing I can come up with. Let's go to Michael, who's up next on Todd Downing. Surprised we haven't gotten him yet. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I actually don't think that Todd Downing did a very bad job last night. I mean, given the circumstances, once you go down so many points like we were in the third quarter, it's like there's only so much you can do as a play caller to try and salvage what little dignity you have left in a beatdown like that. The only problem I had offensive play calling-wise during the game was all of the sweeps that we attempted. Like,
sure.
They tried three sweeps, not in a row, but just like the three sweeps, all three toss sweeps all ended in negative yardage, and every single one of them just got immediately blown up by Buffalo's defense. I don't know if that's a personnel issue or people missing assignments or a play calling issue, but if we should just not try another toss sweep for the rest of the year, because clearly it just has, I don't even think it worked in the Giants game. I don't remember.
So, Michael, let me say this. I've been a Titan fan my entire football life. Thank you for the call. I've been a Titan fan for as long as they've been the Titans. I never liked the toss sweeps with Eddie George, and they had a much better offensive line. I've never liked the toss sweeps with Derrick Henry, and this goes back to Mike Mularkey trying that in 2017 against the Raiders on a third and had to have it. They turned around and they toss sweeped it to Derrick Henry, and it was a horrible call. And so I have never liked the toss sweeps with the big backs. That being said, his initial claim other than the toss sweeps were that he liked the game Downing called. I don't disagree with that. And I know that's not going to be a popular take. I went down when I watched. I thought sometimes it got a little predictable, but I complained so much about the personnel groupings against the Giants. So every time when the game was reasonable, so until the fourth quarter, every time I put, was it a mix of personnel, run personnel, pass personnel, obvious pass personnel, obvious run personnel. Now, some of them I didn't like. You know, the second and one on Buffalo, the second and 10 at the Buffalo 11 when they threw an incomplete pass on first down where Tannehill almost threw a pick six. It's like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do right here. And they had run personnel in there and they pitched it and Derrick Henry lost 4 yards. I thought that was stupid and predictable. For the most part, though, I thought certain play, like I would write, like, that was a good call. Austin Hooper just dropped it. Or, you know, Carter didn't block anybody or Swain didn't block anybody. Or good play by the Bills. I mean, is it Todd Downing's fault that Ben Jones hooked a guy's face mask after the game 17 on a screen pass? No.
I like that play call.
So I got to tell you, Downing, look, I don't like the game plan. I disagree with the theory of it. But I didn't think Downing called a bad game. And Twitter went bananas last night about Downing, and I just didn't think that was fair. And all I believe in, you know me, I don't care about these guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't care if Todd Downing gets fired. That's his problem, not mine. But I do believe in being fair. We got loaded phones. We're right to them. 615-737-1025. Reaction Tuesday. Titans Tuesday here on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
So if you're looking for Sam Martin, there he is. Punter of the Buffalo Bills. They have not punted in four of the last six games. First team to do that since they started tracking punts. Mark will get it away. Talented Kyle Phillips is back deep. Muffs it on the fair catch. And it's all going Buffalo's way. Bills able to recover. Tyrell Dodson able to recover for Buffalo. And Tennessee can't do anything right tonight.
All right, time to get him off the punt return. Enough of that.
Yeah,
see ya.
I've seen all I need to
goodbye.
See.
Goodbye. Yep. Good thing it happened in a blowout.
Two strikes and you are out.
Since Craig Aukerman has been the special teams coach, the Titans have drafted two players with the goal of them being the punt returner in mind, and not just being able to field punts, which neither of these two guys could do, Adoree Jackson and Kyle Phillips.
Just catch them.
But they wanted them to be good punt returners, and they had potential to be good punt returners. And somehow under Craig Aukerman, it just doesn't seem, you know, it is what it is. Ricky is up next, 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the game. Go ahead, Ricky.
Oh, yes. Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call today.
Sure.
But what I was calling for, Taylor Lewan, I know you keep giving him credit like he's all of that, but he hadn't had a whole season. Every season he's been hurt. But last night, my
what do you want to do about it, Ricky?
Excuse me?
What do you want them to do about it?
Well, I need him. Well, they need a benching. Last night, I think, when he came up against Miller, the first play of the game, he went out. I knew the game was over with then when he didn't even play. I said, look at him. You know, they call him the boss hog, but
so
he's
you
not
think,
a boss
you think
hog.
He's so important to the team that when he got hurt, they automatically lost. But you want to bench him at the same time.
Well, I think they need to find another left tackle. You know, he's been in the league for so long, but he hadn't had a regular season. He hadn't had a whole full season. Every time you pay this left tackle all of this money, and he cannot live up to his edge. He, like the first game, the Giants, he got bull rushed the whole game. So
where
you know,
do you,
why is he still there?
Where do you expect the Titans to find this left tackle that you are speaking of that you want?
I'm pretty sure some is sitting on the couch somewhere at home wanting to play. Get in the game, you know.
Unfortunately,
what I mean?
They had to trade for a backup tackle, and it's the guy they have now. Ricky, I understand your point, though. You're not the only one who feels that way about Lewan, and you are right. He needs to play more. Thank you for your call. I mean, he's not wrong about Taylor Lewan being an injury liability, And the way Vrabel made it sound today is it sounded to me like Taylor Lewan's going to be out for a long time. So, you know, get more excited over here about not having a right tackle or a left tackle. But, I mean, the reality with this team that, and it's not, again, it's not one thing. It's not, oh, Lewan's out, that's why they lost. Oh, Dupree's out, that's why they lost. So, let me tell you, I think Dupree's way more important than Lewan. But it's a confluence of a lot of things.
Important.
The problem is the Titans can't draft tackles. I mean, the Titans cannot draft tackles at all. And so, because they couldn't draft Isaiah Wilson and they can't draft Dylan Radins, and this, you know, PT, he's learning, but I'm not convinced he's good. Like, because of that, the Titans have to hang on to Taylor Lewan. They didn't have to hang on to Delanie Walker because they had Jonnu Smith. They didn't have to hang on to DeMarco Murray because they had Derrick Henry. They didn't have to hang on to Kenny Vaccaro because they had Amani Hooker. Well, unfortunately, they have to hang on to Lewan because they don't have anybody else who can play that spot. Is Lewan great at the left tackle position? Nope. Is Lewan reliable at the left tackle position? Nope. But he's not compensated like one of the top left tackles in the league anymore. And he's better than everybody else they have. So that's kind of where that's kind of where they are.
And it's frustrating to think about. What if the Titans had hit on the past two tackles that they have drafted with pretty premier draft positions? First round pick in 2020. A second round pick in 2021. Think about how much of a better situation the Titans would be in right now.
Yes and no. The one thing that we do have to remember, though, is if you're a good tackle, you go with the 14th pick. You're not a quarterback where you go eighth overall, but if you're a good tackle, you go early in the draft. And so,
but even just bodies.
No, I know.
Serviceable players.
No, and not only that, they missed on Wilson.
Be in a much better position.
They missed on Wilson because of personality traits. The one thing that I do wonder, which they'll never say, although I did notice their director of college scouting was at the Louisville game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure he left at halftime. So
maybe he saw all he needed to see.
I saw him walking out there at halftime. John, I can't pronounce his last name. I don't know. But he had his backpack on and was walking out of the press box at halftime. So maybe a full day's work wouldn't hurt if the Titans director of college scouting would like to get to work. Although that's a pretty strong accusation. I'm not completely certain where he went.
Maybe hopefully he was catching a flight to Athens or to Tuscaloosa. Yeah,
maybe. But, again, full day's work wouldn't hurt anybody, just saying. But I say this because I feel like the misses are a part of it, but the misses aren't necessarily.
The misses aren't all of it, but the misses are a part of the blame pie.
I mean, the reality is that when you take guys in the first round, you need it to be almost like, okay, you missed on one guy. The next year, you ended up hitting that guy. And the one that I really hold against him, that I am really, really disappointed in.
Caleb Farley?
No. The one that really bothers me is that Amon-Ra St. Brown went three picks after Des Fitzpatrick. They traded up to draft Des Fitzpatrick, and they could have drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's easy to always look back at a draft and say, you could have that guy instead of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a receiver. Yeah, like it was a receiver that went right after Des. And he's a star. And Dez is on the practice squad. Colton is up next here on the program. 615-737-1025. What's up, Colton?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. What I want to touch on is I think right now they are in a competitive rebuild. That's what they were thinking they were going to be doing this season. Now, they're probably hoping they'd be 1-1 right now, but you choked against the Giants. But I think they're in a competitive rebuild, and I think, luckily we're in the AFC South where everyone's trash, and they can maybe win this division at 8-9 because the AFC South ain't going to get one in the wild card spot. But I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Colton. Here's where I disagree with that take, though. I do think that, you know, I don't know if they think they can win a championship with Tannehill. I don't think they can. But the Titans right now are 14th in cash spent this year in the NFL. Now, it's not like Buffalo, who's second in cash spent, because as we know, the salary cap's not real, but the actual money in which you pay players with
that is
real money. I mean, they're in the top half of the league in cash spent. So I don't think the Titans are holding it back, you know, and saying, well, let's just try to be good, sell some season tickets, and try to, because the way the NFL works, if you're going to do that, then just tank so you can go get a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. Or a good receiver, or a good...
Whatever you need.
Because when you're picking 28th, you don't get to pick Javon Kearse. Now, that's the thing, is when the Titans won in the 2000s, Steve McNair was the fifth overall pick. Eddie George was, I think, in the top half of the first round. Javon Kearse was, I believe, the 16th overall pick in the draft. And then after that, the Titans started picking 30th, and they started picking 28th, and they started picking, and so they started winning. And then they were bad. They went 7-9 in 2001. Then they drafted Albert Haynesworth. And so it's like, okay... So you got to be bad in order to get good players. So I'm not sure the competitive rebuild thing totally works. Plus, the Titans don't make their money on people showing up. They make more money off Amazon having a Thursday night game than they do that has nothing to do with them than they do about people walking inside the building. So I just don't think that that's accurate. Back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Plus, my criticism of Todd Downing and my defense of Todd Downing. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company on a Reaction Monday. It's Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.